Hello, welcome to our Saturday night worship service. I hope you were able to listen to our worship through music before joining me. If not, those videos will stay posted on our website and you can listen to them any time. We've made sure to post videos with lyrics so that you can sing along. I've been joining you every evening this week for devotional encouragement and prayer. And tonight I will be bringing you a sermon with a little more in-depth teaching. I think it was on Tuesday I spoke of the baptism of Jesus. And in Luke it talks about that. It talks about how the Holy Spirit descended as a dove when Jesus came up out of the water, where God the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is not my dearly beloved Son." And Jesus was there having just gone through the sacrament of baptism. It was a celebratory time for the Trinity. It actually was a pinnacle point in the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth. Now, the book of Luke was written by a Gentile physician, and it's actually looked at in two parts. Those of you who are reading through the Bible in a year with us, and I encourage all of you to do that, tomorrow I will post the reading for this coming week. What we've been doing is reading some Old Testament, some New Testament, and right now we have started in Luke. Last week we started, and then we'll be in it for the next few weeks. And if you look ahead in the pamphlet that we had at church, when we were able to be at church, you'll note that we'll be going straight into the book of Acts. And that is because Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. They're actually thought of as two parts of kind of the same writing. And so we're going to see a perspective from Luke as a Gentile, and having his gospel appear in the Bible is noteworthy because it solidifies the message that the good news of Jesus Christ is for all people. And it was not just for the Jews, but it was for the Jews and the non-Jews alike. And Paul's missionary journeys, as we'll see them unfold more and more, he was often accompanied by Luke on those journeys. Luke was someone who went into a lot more detail in his writing in this gospel, and that should stand out to us too, since we started in Mark earlier in the year. So that's just a little bit of background. At the point that Luke did this writing, it's believed that there was quite a bit of friction between these new believers in Christ and the Jews who did not believe in Christ. The new believers did not feel that they were finding or founding a new religion. They felt like they were fulfilling the Jewish religion. They had been waiting for the Messiah. They knew the Messiah had come. They felt 100% that they were the Jews, that it was this Jewish religion that was becoming further along because finally the Messiah had arrived. Whereas there was a great dispute because some didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. So then we see the struggle with the new church, and we'll see that in Acts, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. So we're going to spend time in Luke tonight, and in particular Luke chapter 4. And what we find is that initially after the baptism, Jesus was led into the desert. And he was led into self-isolation. And that has become a vernacular for us this last week, hasn't it? We are self-isolating. We are staying home and staying healthy. Jesus went through an experience of being isolated and alone. And he actually spent 40 days in isolation. Now, his isolation wasn't just being alone. It was also having no water, no food, and of course, no internet. So the devil met him there in the desert. And it says that the devil spent time tempting Jesus. We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone.'" So here we have Jesus in the wilderness, alone, hungry and thirsty. Now, those of us reading through the Bible, and you guys are going to see some sunlight coming through my window, which I don't mind at all, but I hope it doesn't get too distracting for you guys. And hey, thanks so much for posting that you are joining me. I love to have you all with me tonight. Because we're all together, which is a cool thing to be able to do. Anyway, when we think about the wilderness, being stuck in the wilderness, my mind immediately goes to the Israelites. We've done a lot of reading in the Old Testament. We've just barely begun the book of Deuteronomy. And we know how the Israelites felt when they were in the desert. And there were hundreds of thousands of them traveling together. But they started getting hungry. And they started demanding food. You remember that? And God gave them food. Literally, bread fell from heaven. Manna. This manna was actually put into the Ark of the Covenant because it was such a miracle that God fed them in this way. So here we have Satan saying to Jesus, Satan knew who he was, saying, "I know you can turn this stone into bread. Do that. That miracle's been done before." But Jesus responded quite differently by taking words directly out of the book of Deuteronomy, saying, "People do not live by bread alone." Jesus defeated the devil's temptations by depending on God's strength to sustain him. That was the first temptation. Then Satan tries a different approach. The devil takes him up and reveals to him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them all." The devil says, "I can do this because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you worship me." Jesus again reaches back to the Word, to Scripture, and says, "You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So again, we can recall what the Israelites went through and how it was at the base of Mount Sinai where Moses had climbed that mountain and was gone for 40 days. Coincidence? Likely not. He was on the mountain for 40 days with God, during which time he was given the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. When he came down the mountain, the people had built a golden calf for themselves to worship. What Satan is doing here with Jesus is tempting him with idolatry. He's saying, "Worship me, and I will give you all of this. Don't you want all the world has to offer? You can rule these kingdoms. You can have all this for yourself. Think of the pleasure that will give you. Think of the ego that could feed. Think of what power you could exercise over other people. He was tempting Jesus with all of these things. And it is here that Jesus uses quotes again. And it's actually in two different places in Deuteronomy. We find it in Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:20. And he says, you must fear the Lord your God and serve only him. And he says, you must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. The enemy tries it with Jesus, and he tries it with us. Jesus was in isolation. He was under stress, not only being alone, which for human beings, that's really not how we were created. We know that the Trinity itself is a small group. So he was alone, which is one thing, but then he was hungry and he was thirsty. He was very, very stressed. And it's at those times that temptations can be much, much harder to resist. Yet, he didn't argue with Satan about the logistics of it all. What he did was fall back on the word of God that was in his heart. And he quoted those words, which caused Satan to be defeated. You see, it was at this spot, this place in the wilderness, this point of confrontation between Jesus and the devil, that the trajectory of the human experience shifted forever. Because Jesus as a man refused to worship Satan. He refused to go down the path of idolatry. He created a new path for us to follow, one that was very different than the one that the Jewish people had forged to that point previously. We see that Jesus' path leads us straight to the cross. Straight to the cross and beyond. The story here in Luke, even though we're in just the first few chapters, is starting to ramp up. We are going to be on this journey that's leading to the climax of the story. The climax that we will be celebrating at Easter, when we recognize what Jesus did on the cross. But with all glory and honor and thanksgiving, we celebrate the resurrection and the life eternal that is promised to us. And Jesus set us on a new path by wandering in the desert for 40 days and resisting the temptations that those in the past, the forefathers, the foremothers of the lineage, of the Jewish lineage from which Jesus came, had blazed before. It was the wrong trajectory. Jesus came to shift that. Whole new path. Praise God for that. Well, then next, Satan doesn't give up yet. Next, he tries a different twist. Don't you just love it when you kind of got Satan figured out and know how you're going to be tempted by him, and then he slips in something new. There's a twist to it, and you find yourself sometimes going down a road before you realize that, oh man, I think I've kind of slipped off that path that I was following with Jesus. Well, Satan attempted that with Jesus, and what Satan does is he uses scripture first this time. And he says to Jesus, he quotes scripture, and he says this in Luke 4, verses 9 to 11. It says, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Ah, trying to trick him at his own game, Jesus had been using scripture all along to push back on Satan. And Satan comes in and says, here, I've got scripture here. This is what it says. Don't you believe it? I think this should give us all a moment of pause to ask ourselves, is it possible that Satan knows scripture better than I? Just something to think about. Jesus responded to this approach in verse 12. He says, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. This is a direct quote from Psalm 91. Jesus knew the scripture well enough to recognize that indeed, Satan was quoting scripture out of context. We have to be aware of that. It's not just Satan who's going to be whispering in our ears. That can come from all different sources, where people say, well, the Bible says this, or the Bible says that. And if we don't know the scriptures, then we can be misled very easily. We are to measure all things by whether it is the truth of the Bible. And it's important to know not just a random line out of the Bible, but to know the context and what the intention is behind it. And that's why we're reading through the Bible this year. That's why God is having us read through the Bible this year. I have said since our move last April, when we began meeting on Saturday night, there was a phrase I was saying a lot then. I haven't said it for quite a while. But I said, we are a church that is different now in order to make a difference. Well, we are certainly a church that's different now. The church, the followers of Jesus Christ, all around this country and in many parts of the world, have changed amazingly, drastically, incredibly in the last week. We are a church that is different to make a difference. God has been pouring into us the desire and need to pray, and in pouring into us a message that we must get the scripture into our heads, into our hearts, and into our soul. And we see right here with Jesus modeling for us how we live, how we stand against the evil one, how we stand against the lies that the world has to offer. Hey, you can have so much in the world. Don't you want that? No. Because God has told me that he has a different plan for me. It's important for us to know the truth so that Satan cannot manipulate us. Again, forging a new path in the wilderness, Jesus responds with complete trust in God. Jesus changed everything. Jesus changes everything. Amen? Amen. The last verse in this section, verse 13, says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. We know throughout Jesus' lifetime that he was pursued. There was attempts to trip him up, to bring him down before the time was right. But he knew the exact timing with the Father's help. And there was complete victory. But the devil did not stop trying to tempt him as long as he was living as a human. And we have to remember that we're not ever going to arrive and be above temptation, but that Jesus has modeled for us how to be overcomers. You know, Jesus' brother James sums it up, I think, very well in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Actually, before that, more importantly, I think, is this phrase. So, humble yourselves before God. Humility. Humbling ourselves before God. No, I don't want all the power in the world. I want Christ. No, I don't want to control other people. I want to serve. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, it's not easy being alone, and we're going to be in some self-isolation for a bit longer. And I know it can be hard for introverts who are suddenly around their family all the time, and it's a little harder to find space of your own. And I also know it's hard for those of us who are extroverts, because we're not used to being alone, or at least we look for ways to not be alone. But remember that you are never really alone. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are always with you. And so is this church family. There's myriad ways we can reach out to each other these days. And I'm not going to take time during this sermon to list them, but I am going to list them on our Facebook group, because I've got some cool new ways that I just learned about today that I think we can do some things that'll be fun to hang out together. God is with this church community. Stay connected, stay rooted in the Bible, and stay in prayer. Dear, there, sorry, I just got a message that I had poor internet connection, so there may have been a blip in the video, but I seem to be back on. I was going to mention that there's going to be some instrumental music posted this evening at 6:45. It's scheduled to come up on this Facebook Live page, New Vision Fellowship Facebook page, and I would invite you to spend some time in meditation, to spend some time in prayer, to spend some time just searching yourself. Have there been ways that you've been tempted over the last week just because of stress and change? And to be honest, today I was out in my car for the first time since I got back from North Carolina on Sunday, and it's eerie. The freeways are virtually empty, and there's signs posted that says COVID-19. Stay safe. Stay in your homes. Give each other space. It's all changed. There's empty parking lots and not a whole lot of people out. So during this time, I know I addressed fear last night, but I just want to mention that it can be easy to feel weak, to feel like you don't have what it takes to continue on the path that Jesus has before you. And so the message tonight has been designed to give you encouragement, to recognize that Jesus understands what it's like to be isolated, to be without some things that you are used to having. And he's modeled for us how we continue to live a life of faith despite that. So I would just ask that you spend a little time tonight in his presence. He might lead you to read some scripture. He might lead you to just lie down. He might lead you to cry. He might lead you to sing and praise him. Whatever you need to do to connect with your Savior is what you should do this evening. I also want to remind you that part of our worship each week is worship through giving. We recognize how important it is to give to God each week, each payday, a tithe and an offering. And we do this for a couple of reasons, but the main reason is because we acknowledge that everything we have belongs to God, that really he owns 100% of it and he's sharing it with us. And he asks for a faithful response from us, saying, yes, God, I will give you back a tithe of what you have blessed me with. And there's a couple of ways to do that, even though we're meeting virtually. The first is to go on our website. It's not Facebook, it's the website. So you'll have to open another tab. And our website address is newvisionpeople.org. No spaces, all one word, newvisionpeople.org. And there's a spot that says give, be a drop down box, and you can give to the general fund if you're tithing. If you want to give an offering above your tithe, I would encourage you to give to our benevolence fund so that we are ready to help those who end up in financial straits because of all that's happening right now in the world with people's jobs and needing to still pay bills and have food. I also want to let you know that we are getting mail at our P.O. box. So that's another way to give in worship, is to go ahead and write a check and mail that. Our P.O. Box address is New Vision Fellowship, P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, Oregon 97006. And your bank likely has online bill pay, and I know some of you do that already. That's another way to do it without leaving your house. Let's just all stick together, do what we have to do during this unprecedented time. Remember that Jesus is our Savior and he changed the trajectory of each one of our lives forever. And he changed the trajectory for humankind. And he's up to something again. And we get to be a part of it. Let's pray together now. Will you join me? Lord Jesus, I read through this passage today and this last week with fascination in seeing how you were isolated and just being able to have a new way of looking at it that I'd never looked at before. I know that your conditions were extreme and our lives, God, are disrupted, and we're certainly not suffering the way you did. Yet, I know there's people around the world who are hungry and thirsty and alone. And God, we think of those people, we know they're there, but it's hard to truly relate sometimes. Yet you're giving us a little taste of what it's like to have your world change in an instant. And so, Jesus, I thank you for setting the example for us, for solidifying the message that you've been bringing, that we must be in your word, and that it is through the word that we will find truth, and through the word that we will find life. I pray that you will cause us to hunger, to read the Bible. It's so important. And it doesn't feel like a choice right now, God. It feels like a mandate and a have to. Help this church to respond to that, God. Help us to be your army. I thank you for your love. I thank you that the path you set before us led us to grace, freed us from the law. And even though the words that you quoted to Satan to rebuke him and resist him were from the Old Testament, it doesn't negate those words, because you also said you did not come to obliterate the law, but to fulfill it. And that became more clear as well in this passage. God, I thank you for this church family. I pray that as we give our tithes and our offerings this evening online, or whether we just walk it to our mailbox in an envelope, let us do so cheerfully and gratefully. And then let us tune in to the time of instrumental music, where we can just know that even though we're distanced from one another, we will all be together in spirit as we praise you, as we pray to you, as you do the work within us by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, have a great evening. Continue with your time of worship. And I will be in touch through Facebook Live, through the Facebook private group that the church is now participating in, through email and through other means. Keep in touch with each other. And remember that God loves you very, very much. And so do I. God bless you. Good night.